We covenant to affirm and promote. We just heard that this morning, and if you flip to the front of your gray hymnal, you'll see those words there. We, the member congregations of the Unitarian Universalist Association, covenant to affirm and promote, followed by our seven principles and our six sources of faith. Now, in my experience, many Unitarian Universalists are pretty good at naming the first and the seventh principles. And some folks even know the five in between, or some of them. And a few folks even know the six sources of faith. But a lot of times we go right to the principles, often leaving out the six sources altogether, and we skip right over that first part. We, the member congregations of the Unitarian Universalist Association, covenant to affirm and promote. But it's just that preamble-y stuff, right? We, the people, in order to form a more perfect union, yeah, it's just that preamble-y stuff. It's probably not that important. Or maybe it is. You know, in the tradition that I grew up in Judaism, we believe that every single word in the scriptures is important. There are no throwaway words. So let's take a closer look. We, the member congregations, well, that's us. We're a member congregation. We're a member congregation of the Unitarian Universalist Association, and that's what the Unitarian Universalist Association is, really. We've broadened the concept of what makes a congregation over the years, but the UUA is an association of congregations. And we, the member congregations, covenant to affirm and promote. But what does that mean, to covenant? A covenant isn't just a promise. It isn't just a contract. It's a holy contract, a contract made between people in the presence of God, however we understand God to be, or a contract between people and God. If you happen to have a Bible handy, maybe you have one on your phone, I do, you can turn to Exodus chapter 24, or you can just listen to me. This is a covenanting ceremony between God and the Israelites. There are really two different stories here, one in which the covenant is read to the people and they agree to it, and one in which the leaders simply go up Mount Sinai and eat a covenant meal together to symbolize the sealing of the covenant. And I could happily digress into a deep Bible study of the story. But the main point here is that this is a big deal. There is a holy contract. That's what this is, a holy contract between God and the Israelites. Both parties enter into it willingly, and it's sealed with a meal. In Hebrew, the term for making a covenant is to cut a covenant. Because in the ancient Near East, predating the Israelites even, the practice involved the slaughter of an animal and literally walking between the cut pieces. That particular practice has gone by the wayside, but the sharing of the meal, that has remained important. What's so important about a covenant meal? Well, let's take a tour into neuroscience. Neuroscience. Yeah. I love when I get to use neuroscience in church. There are two things we must consider. First, when we eat together, we're sharing our sustenance with one another. We're saying that what I have, I will share with you, just as in the time for all ages this morning, right? However much or however little I have, I will share with you. But there's something else going on as well. The autonomic nervous system, this isn't going to be on the test. The autonomic nervous system is what drives what you might have heard called the fight or flight response. Anybody heard of that ever? The fight or flight response? Okay. But that's only part of it. On the one end, we can gear up to fight or flee or maybe just freeze, right? At the opposite end, we can be relaxed so that we're able to feed or have intimate relations with one another. But we can't be at both ends of the spectrum at once. These are opposite things happening. Think about a time when you've been genuinely frightened. Have you lost your appetite? Has that happened to anyone here? Yeah, a few of us. When we're getting ready to run or fight, we're really not able to sit down and eat. So when we sit down and eat with one another, we're saying to each other, I trust you. I'm letting my guard down in front of you. I'm making myself vulnerable. So when God enters into a covenant with the Israelites on Mount Sinai, they sit down to a meal together. And Jews, when celebrating the Sabbath each week, bless the bread and wine and share it together in the Kiddush. The covenant is always a priority. Jesus also, you may have heard of him, Jesus also made the covenant a priority by instituting what Christians call the Lord's Supper or communion, recreating the covenant ceremony on Mount Sinai at the Last Supper. So why am I telling you all of this? Well, let's take a look at the flaming chalice, the symbol of Unitarian Universalism. This was first taken up as a symbol by the followers of Jan Hus, a priest who lived in the late 14th and early 15th centuries, and who was ultimately put to death for his heresies. Among other things, he brought the wine communion, the cup, to the people. The cup of the new covenant, he brought that to the people. And we have taken up this symbol as our own. Our very symbol, our symbol is a symbol of covenant, of holy contract. We often spend a lot of time thinking about the flame, but I think it's really all about the cup. The cup, the covenant that holds, protects, and nourishes the flame. So these covenants, they're big deals. But sometimes we step out of covenant. What happens then? What happens when we haven't lived up to what we've promised to one another? Well, we've sat down to table with one another, have we not? At least metaphorically. That often gives us a better understanding of each other, and we've been talking about trust recently. We must trust each other before we even enter into covenant. So if we truly do trust each other, and we care for each other in community, are we not then able to call ourselves back into covenant with one another in love? When I was in seminary, because I attended a Methodist seminary, I was required to be in a covenant and discipleship group with some of my peers. It turned out to be a wonderful experience. We had to come up with our own covenant, so we spent a few weeks on that, and then we were responsible for holding ourselves mutually accountable to that covenant. Now, we didn't put anything in it that we thought we wouldn't be able to do, but there were some stretches in there, and there were times when we had difficulties, but we supported each other. We didn't accuse each other or berate each other, but rather we asked, how can we help each other live up to this? How can I help you? How might you help me? We each stumbled with different bits, at different times, but meeting together regularly helped us to learn from each other and to grow. Now, we didn't have the same beliefs. There were four of us in the group, representing three different faiths, but we didn't need to believe the same things or think the same things or have the same strengths in order to support each other in covenant and to grow in faith. A good covenant can do that. It's not like a contract that we sign with the painters. It's not working out a fee for service. Our UUA covenant, the current covenant, does that. We do, as congregations, hold ourselves mutually accountable. It says right there at the end, after the six sources of faith, grateful for the religious pluralism which enriches and ennobles our faith, we are inspired to deepen our understanding and expand our vision. As free congregations, we enter into this covenant promising to one another our mutual trust and support. Promising to one another our mutual trust and support. There it is. We heard two covenants this morning. The first was an excerpt from the Cambridge Platform of 1648. This was the covenanting document written by the gathered churches of the Massachusetts Bay Colony. Our predecessors, Proto-Unitarians. The platform is enduring. When we UUs find that we're not sure where to turn today, we frequently go back to the Cambridge platform when considering matters of congregational polity. And we actually do. We've been covenantal for a long time. And we are a covenantal rather than a creedal faith. We require no statement of faith or pledge to a creed in order to be a member. But we do generally require that we abide by our covenants. Many of our congregations have congregational covenants, and many read these covenants aloud together at the beginning of worship services each week. This is a way of reminding each other of the holy promises they've made to one another and a way of holding each other mutually accountable, just as my little group did in seminary, promising each other our mutual trust and support. As far as I've been able to tell, we don't have a congregational covenant here at Brew, but that might be something we might choose to do together while I'm here. So I'm going to ask you, what promises would you be willing to make to one another? Some congregations have chosen covenants such as the one James Vela Blake penned that can be found in the Gray Hymnal, number 473. Love is the spirit of this church and service its law. This is our great covenant, to dwell together in peace, to seek the truth in love, and to help one another. Some churches choose to compose covenants that include more specific promises to one another and include language around right relations. You might choose something more specific. Maybe you would choose, we will wear our name tags. I don't know. What do you think a church covenant ought to look like? What would you be willing to promise to one another? Well, this is your homework for this week. I would like you to consider these things. Given our Unitarian Universalist Association covenant, how would you like to support each other and hold each other mutually accountable in order to grow spiritually, in faith, and as a faith community? You don't need to have the answer this afternoon. My covenant with you says that I will support you on this journey. Do you remember when we made a covenant together, I and you? So I will support you. Let us grow together. Namaste.